So help yourself improving your understanding of his maqam by realizing that you are now in front of him, because I know many of you wish that they lived in his time. And for many reasons, to our best interest, we did not live there. Thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah did not test us with being around the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because we wouldn't be sure if he asked us for our wealth, would we give away to him sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam what he asks for? If he calls us for jihad, would we be able to go behind him sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam? Allah, for a great piece of wisdom, put us in this 15th century of Hijrah to yearn more to him. And yearning, brothers and sisters, usually increases when the distance increases. You don't yearn to someone in London because you can just get in your car and drive and go to see him. But you yearn to someone in Lahore because it's difficult to drive there. You go there probably once a year or every second year to your home country to visit your friends or your relatives. But when someone is far away from you in distance, a distance here falls on time as much as it falls on places and spaces. So you can understand that we have and we should have more yearning to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam than our ancestors, because we are farther from him in time. Even for the people of Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara, over 14 centuries separate between us and him. If the followers of the Sahaba yearn to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, they could have seen the Sahaba and nourished and quenched their thirst for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as it happened many times. Even Abu Bakr and Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma missed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a lot, and they talked to each other, and in order to remember Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more and more about him, they decided to go and visit Ayman. Ayman, the ex-slave of his father, who was set free, who according to some narrations offered milk to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam when he was born. Ayman Baraka al-Habashiyya. They went and visited her. When they started speaking about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she started crying. They thought that she was crying because she missed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She said, "No, I'm not crying for the absence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. I'm crying because there is no more revelation. There is no more revelation." And the point here I would like to make is she didn't miss Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, because Rasulullah entered her heart. She had her heart locked on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So she didn't miss his person, but she understood the gravity of the loss that Jibreel doesn't come down anymore with any new revelation. Muslim scholars have to struggle in that field. She made them cry. So brothers and sisters, we should understand that 1430 years from Hijra time, or 1420 years from the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, should have motivated our hearts to the utmost level of yearning, shawq, to him sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, that when he is mentioned, we forget about everything else. So imagine that you are in front of him. If you cannot imagine that you are in front of him, too difficult for you, then go to the next step, imagine that he sees you. And I derived this from the definition of ihsan, which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam mentioned in his answer to Jibreel in the famous hadith known as Hadith Jibreel. Sayyiduna Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an narrated, it is in the two books, Al-Bukhari and Muslim. قال أخبرني عن الإحسان قال أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. إحسان is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as though you see him, as though you saw him. فإن لم تكن تراه, if you do not see him, if you cannot see him, فإنه يراك, know that he sees you. This is the rule or the major principle in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, beyond Islam and Iman, beyond achieving the six pillars of belief, establishing them, having them firm in our hearts, and beyond establishing the ibadat, the five pillars of Islam. And this is the core of our deen. However, in our relationship with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, we have several levels and several steps. The top level is ihsan. Because ihsan, linguistically speaking, means perfection. To perfect something. To do it in the best way. In our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have ihsan. And in our relationship with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, we must have ihsan. The best level is the first presented by him, to imagine that you are in front of him. This is, as you are all aware of, why we say in the prayer, As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Salutations be upon you, salam. Upon you, O, talking with the second personal pronoun. The second, you, not he. The third, you, the second. And this is al-mukhatab, a person addressed. And a person should be in a distance. Through it, he can hear you. So you're talking to someone. You don't speak to someone who is far away in India and you say to him, As-salamu alaykum, for example, unless you believe that he's present in front of you. And this is the case of us with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And the same case applies on the greatest men of Allah, such as Sayyiduna al-Shaykh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani and many others whose soul can travel from a place to another and be present in circles of dhikr or in places of worship. So when people say assalamu alaykum to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, they should believe that they are present in front of him, or that he can hear, at least he can hear this, because his hearing sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is beyond the hearing of human beings. For just one subject of the differences between us and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, I would like to ponder on the following point. Many people believe that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is like us. I would say that they are wrong. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is like us only in one aspect. And this is why the Quran emphasized on the bashariyah, the humanness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's like us. قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ means bashar, means he is a human being, but he's not like us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from all other aspects. One of these aspects is hearing. In a hadith in Jami' al-Imam al-Tirmidhi, he sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, إني أرى ما لا ترون وأسمع ما لا تسمعون. I see what ye do not see and I hear what ye do not hear. In another variant of the hadith, in al-Tabarani's Mu'jam, he was walking with his Sahaba in one of the streets in al-Madinah al-Munawwara. All of a sudden he turned to his Sahaba and said to them, do you hear what I hear? They listened. Do you hear what I hear? أتسمعون ما أسمع؟ They were all ears. They listened. قالوا ما نسمع من شيء يا رسول الله. We can't hear anything. قال بلى إني لأسمع أطيط السماء. Ye indeed, I hear the cracking of the heavens. Because there is no space of a foot square probably or enough for a foot. But there is an angel kneeling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.